Off the Ball, GAA.
Probably large aspects of our performance today that we'll have to tidy up on. Going into the semi-final, Kerry are obviously defending champions. They've found a run of form and vein of form themselves, and they're quite dominant.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. World Cup Daily on Off the Ball with Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
Hello and welcome along to Tuesday's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, two of the big European sides get dumped out of the World Cup. Brazil survive a scare against Japan to book their spot in the last 16. And tonight, Ivory Coast, Norway, France, Sweden, Mexico and Ecuador will all look to extend their stays at the tournament. But first, three-time finalists, the Netherlands, are out of the World Cup after a 3-2 penalty shootout loss to Morocco. Cody Gakpo put the Dutch 1-0 up after 72 minutes. He was in tears after scoring the goal just days after the loss of his unborn son. Fulham defender Issa Diop equalised in injury time to send the match to extra time. Then it went to penalties. Justin Kluivert, Quinton Timber and Crescencio Somerville all missed for Ronald Koeman's side. Neil El Aynawi and Ashraf Hakimi both missed for Morocco, but Ismail Saibari scored the winning penalty to send the 2022 semi-finalists into the last 16 to face Canada in Houston on Saturday evening.
Ahí va el remate de Saibari, el goleador del equipo. Saibari, gol!
Four-time world champions, Germany lost their first ever penalty shootout at a World Cup. They were beaten 3-2 on penalties by Paraguay in Boston. Paraguay went ahead just before half-time thanks to a header from Julio Enciso. It came after a great team move down the right-hand side, which involved Miguel Almiron and Matthias Galarza. Julian Nagelsmann's side equalised 9 minutes into the second half when Kai Havertz flicked a Florian Wirtz cross into the far corner. In extra time, Jonathan Tah thought he'd won it for Germany with a header from a corner, but the goal was then ruled out by VAR for a foul on Paraguay goalkeeper Orlando Hill. Havertz, Tah and Nick Valdemade all missed from the spot. Tony Sanabria and Fabian Balbuena both missed for Paraguay, but Jose Canale stepped up to score the all-important penalty for Paraguay, who will now play France or Sweden in the last 16 in Philadelphia on Saturday. German football's sporting director Rudi Völler believes Nagelsmann is still the right man for Germany, but Nagelsmann admits there are questions to be asked about his future with Jurgen Klopp waiting in the wings.
Probably we need to do a big change. We will see. It's not only my decision, it's a decision of my chiefs, and also we have a lot of talented players, young talented players. If you do big changes, it took time.
Brazil are into the last 16 as well. Our own Ben Symes got to experience it all in the Camden in Dublin last night.
I was saying Brazil are on the attack right now, but I don't know. I think we might see a bit of extra time. People have been calling for Neymar for these last...
He scored! Oh, my God! It's Gabriel Martinelli!
He's gone!
Oh, my God!
He's gone!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
2-1 Brazil in the 96th minute. Oh my God. Oh, look at the Camden. People are arm in arm, jumping around the place. It's like Box Park Croydon. Never England score a late winner.
Oh my word. Oh my word. Oh, and I've never experienced anything like this in my life. People are crying. People are crying in front of me. Oh my God. Found sudden Japanese people with their heads in hands. Oh, this is unbelievable. How do you feel? Bravo, Brazil! You can hear what it means. It's just, oh my word. The poor staff are going to have a night and a half here now after this. But oh my word. They never make it easy, do they?
Gabriel Martinelli scored in injury time to send Carlo Ancelotti's side into the last 16. They play the winners of tonight's clash between Ivory Coast and Norway. Japan had taken the lead before the break thanks to a long-range goal from Keisuke Sano. Casemiro headed in the equaliser in the second half after a cross from Gabriel before substitute Martinelli scored a late winner. And on Off the Ball Breakfast this morning, football writer and broadcaster Philippe Auclair joined Colin Buhig and Ger Gilroy to talk all things World Cup. And after watching Germany and the Netherlands get dumped out and the fact Brazil squeezed through against Japan, he said perhaps the footballing powers we once thought as the best are on the wane.
I think it's the front runner, dark horse, Morocco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's a dark horse anymore, it's the best African team. It's got fantastic resources. Morocco has invested more money in football than any other African country. They were semi-finalists in the World Cup. They are regularly, well, we don't know what they are exactly in terms of the African Cup of Nations. We'll leave that to the Court of Arbitrations for Sport. But they are a top, top team with players playing in top, top clubs and having and being at the receiving end of top, top dollar as well from their government. So that's not exactly a surprise. So I wouldn't call them a dark horse. Mm. They're not that dark. They've come out of the darkness. They are now a horse.
What animal are Brazil?
I wouldn't use the term some of my Brazilian friends have been using to describe that team because this was not very flattering. Yeah. I think it would be a street dog disguised as a wolf, but it's still a street dog. They're not very good at all. In fact, they're probably, I mean, I was trying to think about, are they they're the worst Brazilian team since, question mark. I don't know, actually. I wouldn't go as far as 1974 because that would be a bit too harsh. But it's a story of a decline. It's actually very interesting to see that in both for Brazil and Germany, what we're seeing are long-term declines of superpowers, which are no longer superpowers. Because if you look at their results in big competitions, they're no longer superpowers. They're medium powers who have a great capacity to disappoint. And I think we have got to get rid of some stereotypes that we've been carrying for a long time, which I think actually are 70s stereotypes, as in the Jogo Bonito of Brazil, equated with the 1970 team, which was sublime. And the German team, I think with the 1974 and 72, 76, I mean, that amazing team of the early 70s, that's what we think about still now. I know they have won titles since then, though not for a while. But we still have this stereotype ingrained in our brain, and we should get rid of them. That's no longer the case. They're not they're no superpowers, not any longer. So, yeah, I like the shirts, but that's about it, to be honest. I mean, they've been very disappointing.
If you want to listen back to that in full, you can do so now in your OTB Football podcast feed. Remember, you can catch Off the Ball Breakfast each and every weekday morning from 7:30. It's on the Go Loud app and on YouTube. And World Cup Daily and Off the Ball is brought to you by Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026. Smell your best when you look your worst. Sweden boss Graham Potter is urging his players to believe they can beat France tonight. The teams meet in New York with France the heavy favourites, but wary that European giants are falling, and Potter is planning another upset.
In football, certainly in one-off games, anything's possible. You have to have the belief. You have to, just as you know that you can lose to any team if you're not right, you have to have the belief that you can win on the day.
Arsenal striker Victor Gyökeres says they have to believe they can produce a major shock.
We've seen in a lot of games this tournament that you can win games and you can do well even though you play against the best team. So yeah, of course we might be the underdogs, but we still believe in ourselves.
France are stacked with attacking talent. They have the likes of Kylian Mbappe, Désiré Doué, Bradley Barcola, Michael Olise, Ryan Cherki and Ousmane Dembele, the Ballon d'Or winner and the man who scored a hat-trick last time out against Norway. And something else Philippe Auclair spoke about on Off the Ball Breakfast earlier was the opinion held by the French fans on manager Didier Deschamps.
It sounds like a bizarre question considering the 2018 World Cup, Philippe, but is Didier Deschamps regarded very well in France?
It depends. I think this is the tournament that's going to define him in some ways.
Right.
I think people in France are genuinely quite, are really happy with what they're seeing. They're really enthused. And it tends to focus on the players more than anything else. And there's, again, there's the whole Mbappé circus has started in France, which is really tiresome, by the way. But it has started again. But I think once he's definitely one of those when he retires from national team, which is after this tournament, mm-hmm. so probably in mid-July, mm-hmm. I think people's impression of him will be readjusted and they will realize, oh, okay, because good luck to his successor, eh? Zidane or no Zidane? I mean, it should be Zidane, but we don't have any absolutely formal official confirmation yet. We shouldn't forget that. And I mean, it's because of his style of play is that many people think that it would have been possible with this generation of player, the generations of players that he has at his disposal to have been a bit more open, a bit more attacking. And it hasn't really been the case, though. I must say the 2018 team was actually quite an easy team on the eye. It was, you know...
They played great football. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. They played some great football. The team in 2022 did play some great football with Griezmann as a deep-lying playmaker. It's more like the humdrum, the rest of it. I think the €2 were awful. They were awful in every way, but for different reasons. And some of the players were injured, were not well. There were problems within the squad, you name it. So the Euros were, and there was COVID as well. And so the Euros were atrocious. We all agreed on that. But the World Cups have been pretty damn good, you know. And that's what you're going to be judged on. And I wouldn't say history, because history never delivers a verdict. History gives you the arguments, and then you do the verdict. And I think if we use history correctly, the verdict will probably be a little bit more lenient or actually appreciative of Didier than it is at the moment, where he's still seen as being this kind of... he's not really great fun, is he? Which is not true.
That game gets underway at 10 o'clock tonight. At 6, it's Ivory Coast against Norway in Dallas. Ivory Coast have made history getting to this stage, but Norway would make history if they can win a knockout game for the first time. Stade Solbakken rested some players last time out against France, including Erling Haaland and Martin Odegaard. Ivory Coast have plenty of attacking talent, which includes Amad Diallo and Yann Diamande. The winners would face Brazil in the next round. In the early hours of Wednesday morning, Mexico take on Ecuador at the Azteca Stadium in Mexico City. Mexico finished top of Group A with 3 wins from 3 after taking care of South Africa, Czech Republic and South Korea. Ecuador came through their group with Germany and Ivory Coast thanks to that win against Germany. The winners of this tie will play either England or DR Congo in Mexico City in the last 16. Tonight's clash gets underway at 2 a.m. And Ringmahon Rangers have opted to give Bohemians a walkover in their FAI Cup second round tie next month. The game is due to be played on the 19th of July, which is the same day as the World Cup final and the All-Ireland Hurling final. The Cork club said in a statement that logistical challenges and player availability issues were the factors in their decision to withdraw. Also in the statement, the club said they felt they were treated unfairly and placed in an impossible position. Ringmahon's home ground wasn't an option for the match. The club had sought to use Cove Ramblers' St Colman's Park. It was agreed by all parties that Sunday the 19th was the only available day for the tie to be played. Due to Bo's involvement in the Conference League, they are due to play in Gibraltar on the Thursday night before that game. Ireland internationals Caoimhín Kelleher and Jaden Ume are among the players to have been developed at Ringmahon Rangers. That's about all we have time for in today's World Cup Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
World Cup Daily on Off the Ball. With Lynx, a proud sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.